I had a bit of trouble trying to print off my sermon, but so I had to leave it on the laptop and bring the laptop and treat it like a tablet. So anyway, but I'll use my Bible as well. Thanks, darling. If I was going to give this sermon a name, I'd call it The Value That God Puts on Us as His Children. Now, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 15. And in chapter 15, it actually explains in three parables the value that God puts in His children. And the first parable is the lost sheep. And in this one parable, it shows about the shepherd going out, finding that lost sheep, and carrying it back and on his shoulders, and then rejoicing with all of his friends. But we look at the other side of that is where Jesus goes and carries the cross. The cross that was on his shoulders was for all of those that were lost. That's where we see the double of what is actually happening here. You see your parable of the lost sheep with a shepherd, and then you see what Jesus did for us, each and every one of us, at Calvary. Now, he carried the cross all the way to Calvary, and on his shoulders, he was carrying all of us. That's how I see this first one. And the second one was the lost coin, where, well, this woman lost a coin, and she couldn't find it anywhere. So she swept everywhere, and she lit a lantern and shined the light everywhere into the darkness. Now, that's the other part of where God shined his light into all the darkness to find you and I. And that's what he did. Now, the third one that Jesus speaks on is the lost sheep. The prodigal son. The lost son, or the prodigal son, as some translations call him. Now, I think that this one here, it's a clear picture. It shows a clear picture of parents' hearts when it comes to the lost son, because it reflects how we feel when our sons and our daughters, when they get to a certain age and they want to make their own decisions, they want to go out into the world, get their own independence, and they're no longer there where we can see them and where we can correct them, put them on the right road, give them advice, all of that, and they leave. But what are we? We are the parents that are always there to pick up the pieces. Okay? We're there to pick up the pieces. And that's just what we do. We pick up the pieces with our children. Now, if we here today, all of us here today, we could actually identify with this parable, whether it be a son or whether it be a daughter, we can identify with it. Most of us would be able to. Our hearts weep for our children when things go wrong. We weep for them. We worry about them. We're always concerned about what they're doing and where they are. And when we can't see them, we worry, what are they doing? And that's exactly what happens in the area of when our children come to that certain age and they want to leave home. And they do. They want their own independence. They want to be able to do that. Now, we can all experience all of these things. We have, myself and my wife, we have experienced this. And it's painful, but we do. We let them go. And, you know, this story here Now, it's all about this young lad, this young son, who wanted to do things on his own, and he said to his father. Now, in those days, the father always had a situation where he could give the inheritance to his whoever the children were. If it was the first son gets 2/3. The second son gets 1/3. Now, he decided to do what he said. His son said. He demanded, this young man demanded, not with nice words, he said, give me my share of my estate. He could have chose a little bit better words than demanding on his father. There was no respect there. But that's what he did. Now, as much as we love our children, it's not good to watch them make bad mistakes. Yeah. All the mistakes that they make in life. But the son wanted to go afar off right away. Right away. He wanted to put distance between his father and himself. Why? Because he did not want to have his father's watchful eye upon him any longer. He wanted to be his own man. He wanted to make his own decisions. He wanted to grow up as he, you know, but then some children aren't ready for it. And they don't know it. It's only because of pride comes into their lives. And that's what happens. So it's the part where in this one, the young man leaves the watchful eye of his father, the security and the love of his household to make his own way in life, to make his own decisions, to find himself as a young man. He wanted to put that distance, as I said, between himself and his father. Right? But it reminds me a little bit about Jonah. Although it was a different story and it was one of disobedience and that sort of thing with Jonah, he didn't want to do what his father in heaven wanted him to do, and that was to warn the Ninevites. So he put some distance between God and himself. 2,500 miles, to be exact, that's what he did. He ran away because he didn't want to do what his father did, or what his father in heaven wanted him to do. And that was to warn the Ninevites about what was going to happen to them if they didn't change their ways. Now, his son, this young man, his father, he had instructions for his son, but his son was too proud and he wanted to leave. So he left. The two different characters in this story, the two different characters of the two different sons, as the story will end up telling us. Our own and similar way will start to, our own children and similar way will start to, in a similar way, will start to make their own decisions. And you'll see the change. And the change is usually their speech, right? Their speech. And the actions they have to just things. Their reactions to what you say, okay? And then their dress. And they mix, and the people that they mix with, because they've picked up bad habits with people that they mix with. And there's nothing you can do about it as children. As parents, we can't do anything with them. But the thing is, we can object, we can advise, we can intervene in many different ways. But eventually that can actually slide a wedge between you and your children. It's time to back off and let them learn. As painful as it is, and sometimes it's really sad in some families to see what children do. There's a lot of children that have gone, left home, and they're virtually living under bridges. They won't come home. They won't come home. And they use this thing about their pride, and they've got to actually end up on their, well, bones of their backside. They have to end up so far down before they realize that they've made a mistake. And it's just painful to see it happening to your own children. Now whether it is that painful, brothers and sisters, we need to let them go. We just need to let them go and make their own mistakes, learn from it. And we all know, because we're as adults, that learning your own mistakes, we know it's hard and painful. We know that that is hard and painful to learn by their own mistakes, because we have actually done the same sorts of things in some ways. It's hard. In verse 13 or verse 12, the young son says, and this is virtually behind his words, he said, "Give me what is rightfully mine." He didn't say it in those words, but that's what he was saying. "Give me what is rightfully mine." So the young son leaves after he was given what he wanted. And he put that distance between his father and himself. The word doesn't say exactly where he went, but it was to a country that was far away, where there was no rules, regulations. He was not under anyone's control, guidance. He was free to do as he liked, to make his own decisions, what he wanted. He was his own man, his own person. Now, when Jonah ran away, 2,500 miles, right? He got swallowed up by a whale. Wow. What a decision. What a decision to run away from God. Have you ever heard of anything so stupid? Running away from God? Really? Running away from God. Do you think anyone can hide from God? It's ridiculous to even think that we can run from our Creator, who's got eyes everywhere. Even, I don't know what it is, whether he uses cameras from flowers, or because he's everywhere. He's in flowers, he's in trees, he's in nature, he's everywhere. He is so big and great. He sees everything that we do. So it's stupid to think that we can run away. But this fella, Jonah, this prophet, right, he should have known better, because he was chosen as a prophet. And yet he didn't want to do it because he didn't like the people that he had to go and talk to. It was totally different from this son that we're talking about, but it's the same situation. He was not listening to God. Like this young man, God his father, and this young man was not listening to his father. Now, all of these parables are all showing God the Father. It's all about God the Father and the Son, and that is you and I. The Son, the daughter. It's you and I. So, anyway, Luke 13:14, and likewise, the young man put distance between him and his father and foolishly squandered. Squandered all his money on wild living and women of disrepute. I'll put it nicely. Yeah. But that's what he did. And then what happened? A severe famine struck that country. Now, if our father wanted Jonah to do something, and Father God wanted this young man, which is you and I, he would bring us to a point where we would go down, 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 until, in our own way, we are in an area of suffering, until we wake up and return to the will of God. And that's what happens. All his money had gone. Where was his new friends? Money's gone, friends gone. He had nowhere to go to live. No bed, no roof over his head, no food. Could it get any worse? Oh yeah, it could get worse. He wasn't really ready to go back home, was he? But says here, instead, he hires himself out to a pig farmer. Now, working with pigs would be the lowest of low jobs for an Israelite, for an Israeli, a Jew. Working with pigs would be in the lowest of low jobs. Now, I'll tell you a little story. I worked for a company called Armor Engines. And Armor Engines were importing secondhand engines from I was the sales manager from Japan, and secondhand engines and secondhand cars. Now, one day this guy came in, and he came up the driveway in his truck, parked his truck. I went out, saw it, and I thought, oh, what's that stench? What is that stench? And this guy had parked his truck, and he wanted a new engine, right, in his truck. I went down, and oh, my eyes could have been watering, I don't know, but it was just terrible. The smell was just bad, bad, bad news. And anyway, he said, I need this engine. I said, what size the engine and everything else? And I had a look at, and he said, yeah. I said, yeah, okay then. Come into the office and we'll sort it out. He came into the office. And the women in the office just were going, their faces were screwed up. And they were going, get him out of the office. And this is true story. And when he left, we had to park his truck. He left his truck behind. He got someone to pick him up. We had to park it down the road, away from the company, that because of all the people coming in to the yard. Anyway, that was right. And we had to, we parked it in the yard, then took it. We didn't clean it or anything like that. We just had we didn't have a power cleaner to clean it with. Anyway, what happened was that this guy came in to pick his truck up about 2 days later. Now, he got out of the car and he was clean clothes, looked clean, walking towards me. I think it was just terrible. And it must have been in his skin, right? The stench must have been in his skin. So pig farming is not a good thing, because wherever you go, you'll smell like the pigs. And this young man smelt like the pigs, because he was just working with them. He was more than likely sleeping with them. It says here in the Word that he even got that way, that he would go into the fields and eat with them, right? Because it was and he ate the corn husks. He ate the corn husks. Now, that's terrible. Yeah, there you go. There you go. All the corn, with all the corn. Good man. With all the corn off of this, right, it's just a husk. Well, he was chewing and eating the husk of all things. This poor young fella, he just wasn't ready to go home, was he? Well, he did not return to his father, because at that stage he was too proud. Now, I don't know how low you got to fall before you do something about it, but and he to ask his father's forgiveness. And the reason why he didn't want to ask his father's forgiveness, because he had failed. It was embarrassing. It was pride that kept him away from his father. Now, that's what keeps people, young people, away from their families in some ways, when they leave home and they're living under a bridge. They don't like the fact that their parents know that they have failed. And they're destitute, just like this young man was. He is destitute. He was so bad and so low, and he still hadn't, the penny hadn't dropped to go home. And we would like all of our children to come home when they're in such a bad state. Because why? We love them. We love them. That's why. It doesn't matter the things that they've done wrong. It's just come home. And that's the situation. And if he failed, going to his father with a broken and contrite heart, asking for forgiveness, was truly the only way that he was going to end his plight. Right? Jonah ended his plight. How? He saw himself in the belly, in the darkness of the belly of the fish, and he cried out to God. He cried out to God. The only way he was going to get out of his plight. and his Father in heaven forgave him. Okay? Now, being destitute, for the verse 15 and 16, sometimes we have to hit rock bottom for us to see our sin and mistakes we have made. Now, this young man was destitute, as I said. In verse 17, it wasn't until he hit that rock bottom that he decided to go home and seek his father's forgiveness. He put together in his own mind what he was going to say. He was going to admit his sin. Now, I'm not reading from the scriptures here, but I put it in this. He was going to admit his sin and his unworthiness and ask his father to forgive for his forgiveness, and also was not expecting to be reinstated as a son. Right? He was willing to accept that. His only request was to be granted a position as a servant. Now, how bad is that? This young man is so down on himself. He says, how can I ask my father to reinstate me? He just didn't know how much his father loved him. And it's the same sort of thing when we wander, like the sheep wandered, like when the coin was lost, you know, all of that. When we get lost and we go our own way and we wander from the flock, even from a church body that loves you. And when we wander from that and we wander from the home, family home, it's really hard to see, you know, to go back. It's really hard to go back. But we want you to come back. We parents want the children to come back. God wants you back where you belong. And that's the truth of it. And these three parables speak of that. The whole three of them. The shoulders of Christ that carried you on the cross, all the way to the cross. Yeah, and the coin that was, God shined his light into the heart of that house and found that coin. It's the same thing. A perfect example of repentance. And I've already spoken about Jonah. Right? In the same way, likewise here, the young man was going home to ask his father's forgiveness, face to face. Hard to take for the young man. To let his father see him as a failed young man. But it didn't worry the father. The young man hit rock bottom and reminded of all the love, compassion and mercy he had at home, and surrounded by his father's love, all the comfort of home. Where he was, he had nothing. Where he came from, he had everything. Could you imagine what was going through his mind? What a fool am I? Finally, the light switches on, and the young man decides to go home where he belongs. Yeah, we must capture this picture as a parent with our children. This is an ideal picture for a parent, any parent, for their daughter or their son. To actually go and forgive them, even look for them like Jesus with carrying the person on his shoulders, you know, as the Lamb of God. Yeah. Where he was, he had nothing. That's right. It's a big thing to see your own error of your ways. It's a big thing. In verse 20-21, his father always held on to the hope that his son one day would come home and return to the farm. He was always watching on the horizon of the road to see a figure come walking towards the farm. And the word says that he was afar off, and his father saw him with great joy he ran to him, filled with compassion and mercy. Amen. In some translations, it says that the father fell upon the neck of his son and kissed him. Not on his cheek, on his neck. This was the lips of forgiveness, and held him tight to his bosom. This is the compassion and love of God for all of us. For all of us and all of our children. The story goes on. He came home in rags. He stunk of pigs. The father called for the servants to put a robe, the finest robe, upon him. The best robe was the righteousness of Christ. There's the righteousness of Christ. Forgiven. His son, he had forgiven his son. He put on Jesus and a new nature. That's what he did, the young son. He put on Jesus. And the ring was the family seal. Just as the Holy Spirit is your seal and mine. Marked, sealed, family. That's it. And the sandals represent the gospel of peace. I've actually read in some places that only a servant is barefoot, but a son has shoes. So there. Yeah, son was restored. The son was restored. Restored to his father. Now, the story goes on and tells us about the oldest son, the older brother who was discontented in how his father treated his younger brother, his youngest son. The oldest son was always with him, as the scriptures tell us. He worked hard to please his father. He always honored his father and respected him. And he was not happy with the youngest son being reinstated. And you can understand the jealousy and the discontent. He gets welcomed in. His father kills the fattened lamb. And they all rejoice. In all of these parables, there was rejoicing for the one that was lost. Here, this son was lost. And he was reinstated. And there was rejoicing in the family. And it's the same thing for any one of our children, any one of our own children that come back after being living under a bridge or wherever it might be, to welcome that child back with such mercy, compassion, and love. It's important. This young man would not come in and rejoice with the household. And as he said to his father, "You never gave me a lamb to have with my friends, and yet you celebrate with the son that has dishonored you." His father said to him, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." The parable is really about God and his children. All of us, you and I. But we can relate to it with our own families. We can. And I've been in churches where the children have left home, back into the world, and the mother and the father not happy, and they don't talk about it. They'd rather not remember it even happening. They just want their son or their daughter home. but they never let anybody else know and pray with them or anything like that. That's in other churches that I've been in. It's always a problem within, even in within the Christian churches and families, because it's everywhere in the world. Jesus is so real in the way that he puts it in these parables, especially in this one. He touches family lives in every angle. That's what he does. In Psalm 139, right? Psalm 139, we're told of it shows the whole love that he has, that God has for us. He sees us being knitted together in our mother's wombs. He sees all that. Where can you go and hide from God? Psalm 139 will tell you there's nowhere where you can hide from God. We can leave church, but God's eyes are still on us, even though we're not in church. And he will follow you everywhere. He will always be there for you. We need to understand how far the love of God goes, because it's very necessary to understand, just even with John 3:16. Now, there's some scriptures that we look at and we can cherish. And I love all of God's word, and I'm sure you do too. But there are some scriptures and some psalms, and you cherish it. You cherish the words. And the one that's always spoken to me is John 3:16. For God so loved. That small word, so. That's the word of passion. And that's the passion he has for each and every one of us. The passion, so loved you that he sent his only son. And this scripture cuts through all the racialism and discrimination, because whosoever believeth in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. It cuts straight through all of that. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white or yellow or red or whatever color. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter what country you're born from or you come from. It doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim or you're a Jehovah's Witness or whether you're a Hindu. If you receive him as your Lord and Savior, that's it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish. So we all have the opportunity to receive Christ. We all have the opportunity to make a choice. So they all have that. They've got to make the right choice, obviously. So, brothers and sisters, you know, it's such a thing to know the passion and the love of God for each and every one of us. And he loves your children so much. And we need to instruct our children so they don't wander, you know. And we've got to do it in a gentle way. And loving. And the thing is, a gentle and loving way, so that they don't leave our home, so they don't leave church. Sometimes they get to an age where it's hard, very hard, to pull them back into that family of God. But you have that power. God gives you that power. He gives you that compassion, that mercy, that love to be able to do that with your children. So it doesn't matter what children do. We need to love them, just like God loves you. It's important. Now, before I pray for you lovely people, I want you to know that God sees your heart. And he knows the burdens that you are carrying. He sees it all. Obviously, Psalm 139, he sees it all. He sees your heart like an open book. You can leave it at the foot of the cross and give it to him at the altar, and you can put it there today. But the thing is, there's a lot of people that put things at the altar and at the cross, and they pick it up the next day. We've got to learn to leave it with God. Leave it with him. Leave your problem that you have with your family and everything like that, all of those things that you want to be prayed for, leave that at the cross. And believe that God, yes, trust to have the confidence and the trust and the faith that God is going to answer your prayer. That's what we need to do. So I'm going to finish with a prayer, and then I'll pray for whoever wants prayer, okay? Lord God, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father God, for your very presence. And Lord, Father, for your glory, and Lord, all the worship that we did this morning, and knowing that your very presence is here today, this morning. Lord, we want to be able to take that presence wherever we go. We want to take it in our hearts, where people will see that we are Christians, that we are your children. And Lord, that we are full with the same compassion and the love and the mercy as you are, because you give it to us, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father God, for each person here, Lord, that you would touch and meet them at their every need. In Jesus' name, amen. So if anyone has anything that they want to be prayed for, I'll pray for you today. And God will meet that prayer. Amen. Yeah, if you want to have prayer, you just come forward. So you can, if you can stand.